It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Then he said, I have 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. So see what happens.
And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000.
All these 5,000 people were fed by 5 loaves and 2 fish. And not only that, let's go back now to Book of Luke.
For they were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them, and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets.
Can you imagine? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He took this fish and the bread, looked at heaven, and blessed that bread, and gave it to people. He gave to all 5,000 people. 5,000 people means, I'm just guessing, 5,000 people, and if they were ladies, that will be 5,000 and 5,000, 10,000. If they have their children, 1 or 2, then you will be 10,000 or 20,000 people he fed. But those days, they will not consider children and the wives, but they will just say men. So that's why he said 5,000 men. Now, he multiplied and gave it to people. Now he says they had 12 basket full food remaining and the fishes. And now somebody will say maybe they took the crumbs. You cannot take the crumbs because when somebody is eating and he left over, they cannot take that. But I believe the other basket they were giving to people, they gave it to people and remaining baskets were there. They were all still full. So Jesus multiplied this. And in the Old Testament, similar miracle happened. Let's go to the 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42 to 44.
And there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what, should I set this before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof.
Here one man comes to the how many loaves, barley loaves? 20. How many people were there? 100. Now, to give 100 people 20 breads may not be sufficient, but everybody can have a piece to the 100 people, and we are so hungry, and this is not enough. If somebody says, well, we will share, and everything will be all right, God would multiply. But they were grumbling. The man of God says, give it to the people, they will eat, and we will have left over. And exactly happened. And so, read up 44.
So he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord.
So the man of God says, by God inspired him to say, these 20 loaves are more than enough to feed 100 people, and will we have left over? And exactly happened. And so God multiplied this and gave it to the child, the young lad, gave his own lunch and his fishes, and he was not worried what will happen, what my family will think. Who took this 12 basket? But just guess, that 12 basket was given to that young man who gave the food. And so whatever you give it to the Lord, it's not going to be wasted, but it's going to be multiplied, and you will get back in return. Okay, let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 9, And start reading from verse 18.
And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom do the people say that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again.
Jesus Christ is asking a question. Up to now, if you're studying the book of Luke, we saw so many miracles, healings, calming the sea, casting out the demons, and all these disciples were given the power, and they saw the power of God in their lives. Now Jesus Christ is saying, what people are thinking about me? Why he's asking the question? He wanted to know not only what other people are thinking, he wanted to know what the disciples are thinking, because he wanted disciples to know he is not the ordinary man, what the world is thinking. So when he starts asking, they said, oh, somebody says the John the Baptist, somebody says Elijah, or somebody says one of the old prophet. Then Jesus Christ says, verse 20.
He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God.
Now the Peter is saying, You are the Christ, anointed one of God. And so he starts saying this in a book of Matthew. Jesus Christ says, You did not say it your own, my Father revealed to you. But here Jesus Christ is saying, once he came to know, God has inspired Peter to say, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, he is the anointed one, he is the Christ. Then he says, now don't tell anybody, let's read verse 21.
And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day.
Now, when he said to these disciples, now what Peter said, keep it secret. Then somebody says, why in the world he wanted to know what the people are thinking? He just wanted to let the disciples know, I am the Messiah, I am the Savior, I am the one who Moses said, and that's why I came here. But now the time will come. You remember in earlier we studied that he told the disciples, don't go to any heathen countries, go to only the chosen people of the Israeli people and don't go any other places. At that time they didn't understand, but after filling up the Holy Spirit, they came to know why Jesus told us not to go anywhere else. Because the gospel was given to Israeli people first. The same way, here the Jesus Christ is saying, you keep this secret until what? Until the resurrection. And then after the resurrection, you can tell other people. And so these people kept it secret until the resurrection. Now he says, people are going to persecute me. They will reject me. They will crucify me. But the third day, I will rise again. Let's read verse 23.
And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Just think that your leader tells you, you know what, we are going on a journey, but somebody is going to catch me, somebody is going to kill me, somebody is going to destroy me, they are going to bury me, and I'll rise again third day. Now somebody says, we don't want this kind of leader, because if they kill him, they will kill us too. And so some of the people might be thinking it is difficult to follow this man. So he is trying to clarify. If you heard these things, what you do if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself and carry your cross daily and follow me. That means he was telling, it is not easy to follow me. There are people following Jesus Christ. He said, why are you following me? Are you following me for the bread that you ate? Why are you following me? And John's gospel in 6th chapter, he started telling them, if you want to follow me, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Then you will have eternal life. And the word of God says, many of his disciples walked away and never walked with him again. And so he wanted to let these people know, you want to follow me? then you have to suffer. You have to take your own cross. You have to deny yourself, and you have to follow me. Let's read the verse 24.
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it.
People will say, how this scripture works? If you try to save yourself, you will lose it, and if you lose it for myself, you will save it. It doesn't make sense to people. Now, some people say, okay, the hurricane is coming, and don't go out. You be safe in your house, and you will save yourself. But just think, if God doesn't want to save you, you can be killed in your house. So here the same way he's saying, if you want to save yourself, means if you have to have eternal life, you follow Christ, who gives eternal life. If you deny the Christ, then even though you think you are safe, one day you will go to hell. Another example I'll give, in the time of tribulation, the people who are alive, and if they say, well, I want to be safe, because the Antichrist will say, if you don't take this 666 number, you cannot buy food, you cannot sell food, so you will die. So you take the number and you will be safe. And somebody says, okay, I want to be safe, give me the number, I will have food, I will have job, I will have money, I will have my business. But the word of God says, if you take the seal, you will be doomed forever and you will go to hell. So that's the reason Jesus Christ says, if you try to save yourself, get everything and deny Christ, you will lose your life. Verse 25.
For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?
He's saying if you gain the whole world and you cast away means you lose your life, what is use? You remember the story, there is a one man said, you know, you run and as much as land comes under your feet, I'll give you the land. And this man was healthy and strong. He says, okay, I'm going to run and get his whole land. And he starts running. And he's running and he gets getting tired. He says, one more miles. And he's getting tired. He says, one more furlong. And he's going to die. One more feet. And he's getting tired. And he says, the last feet. He got a lot of ground under his feet. And then he fell down, collapsed, and died. How much land he got? Zero. So that's what it is. He says, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, means you die and you went to hell, what's the profit? One day will come and the life will end. And then we'll say, why I didn't do anything for the Lord? I'm telling people the time is very short. And this is the time in this world to prepare to go to heaven. So we have to think, what I'm doing for the Lord. The word of God says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, what it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. This verse I'm telling you a billion times. But some people do not understand. They say, why God is not giving me what I want? Are you seeking his kingdom? That's what the problem is. People don't have time to pray. They don't have time to read the Bible. They don't have time to think about God. And they think about the worldly things. And the worldly things will not give you the eternal life. You get the pleasure. The word of God says the pleasures of sin is for the short period of time. Just think the young boy and young girl, they are young and they are not married. And they have relationship within a whatever the time, and that girls get pregnant, and boy said, I don't want the child, and their life becomes hell. How much pleasure they had? A short period of time. But that brings death. Sometimes the girl says, I don't want to show my mother and father my face. I want to kill myself. The boy said, I don't want to be responsible, and they get killed. You saw so many people dying every day. The young people dying. What is the reason? This is the reason, the sin. Sin they commit, and they don't want people to notice what they're doing, and they cannot face the world, and they die. So that's what the Word of God is saying. You can gain the whole world, but the end will be death. Verse 26.
For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels.
Read also in Mark chapter 8, verse 35 to 38.
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
But in Mark he says, the shame about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means we are here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. And if you don't do it, the one day will come, the judgment day will come, and we have to face the judgment. That means the much is given, the much is required. Somebody will say, oh, I know the Bible. Because I was born in Christian family. My father was a pastor. My mother was a superintendent of the Sunday school. And we were born in the Christian family. But what did you do for Jesus? The much is given, what? Much is required. And so once you know the truth and you follow the truth, somebody says, I know that. If you know more, you will get punished more. So here he's saying, Jesus Christ is coming, angels will be coming, and there will be one day when Jesus comes in his glory, he's talking about the after the millennium, there will be a great judgment seat of Christ. Then what you will do? That's what the Word of God is saying. We should not be what? Ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God gives you chances. You might meet some friends. You might meet some co-workers. You might meet somebody in the bus or somewhere. The Word of God is saying, what God has given to you, are you sharing with somebody? Are you telling somebody? Or are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? What the Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says,
for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. And he said, this is for everyone. Whoever wants the power of God, those people should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means God is going to use you powerfully. God wants each and everyone to be used, and we are not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said that power is available to everyone. And read the verse 17.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
That means once you start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will not have any lacking. The power of God is available, and the financial blessing is available, because he says, the just shall live by faith. What do you mean just? Righteous man. You are the righteous person, and you working for the Lord, you will not have any lacking. Because by faith, you will have everything. When you need something to do anything for the Lord, he will supply the need. So he said, the just shall live by faith. And that's what I'm doing. Righteous man prayers availeth much. When you are righteous, he says, when you are a righteous person and by faith, you can do mighty things. So we don't have to be afraid of anything. You can do anything by faith. Luke chapter 9, verse 27.
But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God.
Here Jesus Christ is saying to his disciples, and as you know, they were 12 disciples, and there were other 70 disciples. We are going to study them in next chapter, 10 chapter. But he's saying the people who are standing and listening to me, they are going to see the kingdom of God, and some of them will not die until that happens. When you read in the Matthew records a little bit differently.
Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Now, when you read this, Jesus is saying, you are standing here and listening to me, and some of you will not taste the death, or you will not die. Now, in this word he says, until the Son of Man comes in his kingdom. Now, somebody will say, how come? Jesus said, you are standing here, and you will not see the death. And here he says, Son of Man did not come yet. So what happened to those people? Are they still alive? Are they still waiting? Did Jesus something lie to them? Or what happened? So this scripture has a dual meaning. When you see after this scripture or after this paragraph, right away he takes his disciples on the mountain. When Jesus Christ took them on the mountain and his face became like a shining face and his clothes were so bright, and Elijah and Moses came and they saw him, they said, oh, that's what Jesus Christ was talking about, the kingdom of God. But if he was saying something, nobody died. So that might be not true. You understand the point? When he was saying, some of you are standing here, you will not see the death until the Son of Man comes, or until the kingdom of God comes. This was after 7 days later, Jesus takes them to the mountain. So those people were still alive. What Jesus Christ actually was saying. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 1.
And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power.
Now, here he's saying, till they see the kingdom of God come with power. Now, here makes a little bit sense. The kingdom of God is coming with power. Now, when did the kingdom of God came with a power on this earth? Only I can see on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost, the already heaven opened, and the fiery tongue came on each and every one where they're sitting, and the whole things were shaken, and things like power of God fell upon them, and they filled with the power of God, and they enter into the kingdom of God, and they start seeing visions and dreams and preaching about the kingdom of God, and the church established. The day of Pentecost, the church established. And then according to this, it says, till we see the kingdom of God, some people will be still alive and some people may be dead. Do you know who was not there when the kingdom of God came with the power on the day of Pentecost? Judah was missing, because Judah died before the day of Pentecost. So what Jesus Christ was saying in twofold meaning. First of all, he is saying the kingdom of God is coming in power. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the kingdom starts in your heart. When you receive the Holy Spirit, the third person of Trinity, when it comes in you, what happens? You are entering into the kingdom of God. Do you know what Jesus Christ says to the Nicodemus? He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But he says, if the person who is baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, they will be entering into the kingdom of God. St. John chapter 3, verse 5, please read.
Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Born of water is a water baptism. Born of Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So he says, if you are born again by the Spirit of God, baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, you have chance to enter into the kingdom of God. So the Jesus Christ was saying the kingdom of God is coming with the power. And they didn't know what he was talking about. But when the day of Pentecost, when the kingdom of God came on earth, the Holy Spirit, and they filled with the Holy Spirit, it was like they lifted up and sitting in heavenly places. Read the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6.
And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
When you are born again and filled with the power of God, you are lifted up into heavenly places and sitting beside Jesus Christ in his kingdom. So that's the experience Jesus Christ was saying. And the people, when they read the scriptures, he said, I don't understand. Jesus Christ was saying, you will be seeing the kingdom of God coming with power, and some of you will still be alive. And the Judas was not there on the day of Pentecost. And the Matthew said, go to the Matthew again, chapter 16, verse 28.
Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Now here is saying very clearly, the Son of God coming in his kingdom. Now this has two different things. The Holy Spirit came and the kingdom of God established in our heart. And now we are in the spiritual kingdom right now. But here is saying the Son of Man is coming. Who is Son of Man? Jesus Christ is coming one day in his glory. Now here also saying some of you are standing here. You will not be seeing death. But some of you might be dead. Now, how it works, the people who came into the first time in the kingdom of God, that means we are born again, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, we got eternal life. And then even though we die, we go to heaven, and when Jesus Christ comes back from heaven in glory, we will be still with him in a glory. And so both way it will work, and it worked both way. The disciples of Christ, they saw the kingdom of God coming in power, and they were alive. Judah was not there. And the one day will come, Jesus will come, take us home to heaven, and the tribulation starts on this earth, and then we'll come back after the tribulation for the millennium kingdom. And that's what the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, was talking. And the Judas will not be there. But all other disciples he talked, they will be there. So the point I'm making, some people will read this and they will say, what Jesus Christ said doesn't make any sense. But once you read these three different gospels and put together, then you know what Jesus Christ was saying. Now let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 9 and verse 28.
And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistering.
Now see here, after he talked to them, a week later, he takes them to the mountain. And he takes them there to pray. There are only three people he took. Peter, John, and James. Now here Jesus Christ is praying. While he's praying, his face changed like a glorious appearance.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.